you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
From the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save.
Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7. Great to be with you. We are in an awesome discussion about who is God.
Yeah.
And last couple of discussions have been really, really good. More like an extended intro the last two sessions. But this one, I think, is very poignant because one of the things that we know from Scripture and how God reveals who he is is through his names.
Amen.
And so I'm excited about this segment because we're going to be talking about the names of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we want to welcome back the usual suspects, Frankie.
Breathe easy, would ya?
And of course, the preacher extraordinaire, the legend, Bobby Sunday, known as Robert Honey.
Yeah.
What up, Holy?
And then, of course, the guy. The guy. Just,
that's it.
It's just, that's it. He's the dude.
The dude.
The dude. Macedonia. Oh, yeah.
Mac.
Our executive producer of this segment. So,
yeah.
Here we go. The names of God. When you think about the names of God, and we've all studied the scriptures, and we know the different names of God, and we're going to go through them. But let me ask you something, guys. If I ask you to give God a name based on what he has done in your life, and you can't use one of the names that you know of in Scripture, what name would you give? Now, I know there's an exhaustive list of names in the Bible, so anything we say might hint toward, but using English, not Hebrew or Greek or whatever, but just based on your experience with God in your life, what would be the best name to describe him?
No name is good enough. Usually what comes to mind to me when I think about God is that he's totally awesome.
I think if I was to put a name on it, I definitely would have to go with the God of my correction.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
The God of my correction. That's good.
Not about 10 other names I could think of. Man, it's just, I couldn't summarize it. He's just been,
And the
it's
reason
been all of that.
Yeah.
And the reason why, because the fact that the Lord shined most brightly was inside of the Department of Corrections. And so, he would definitely be the God of my creation, or God of creation, but of my correction. And the reason being, again, is because a lot of times people will associate their correcting due to man's efforts outside of God's efforts.
Right. You want to elaborate on yours, Rob?
I can agree with that 100% about God just being a God, of correction and not attributed to man. But I think of all the, when I think about him being totally awesome, just thinking of how he's not only corrected me, but turned me around in areas of my life that I thought was impossible.
So God of.
So that's why I think about just saying how he's awesome, he's amazing, because he's done things I never, you never thought he could do. You say, even thinking about when I had just such a secular mind before being saved, it's like, I know God is, he can do anything. Like, God is God. But then when God begins to do things in your life, it's like, wow. It's like, I never thought I would stop drinking. I never thought I would stop smoking. Just, I can give you a laundry list of things. And, of course, just stopping those things alone don't make, make me greater awesome. But just knowing that what I thought was I remember being in a state of depression years ago, suicidal at times, and thinking, I'll die a drinker and a smoker because of the lifestyle I was in and what I was living. So just to think of God in that, like I say, in that capacity, to just think like, wow, he is awesome. He's amazing. I never thought I'd be able to stop this. And it was only through the power of God and through the transformation of God in my life that I was able to stop.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that, and there's definitely a favorite name that the Bible reveals, of course. But I think for me personally, is I would have to say, in my experience, that he's been the God of my friendship.
All right.
He's been that kind of God, where he's been so personal.
Yeah.
Even when I didn't know him as well, based on his scripture, I've always, my relationship started out with, wanting to get to know who he was. Ever since I saw the movie when I was a kid, Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay.
Had no idea what was going on. All I know is that they were doing that man wrong.
It was
one of the first movies because, it came on 3 days, with Easter.
Man, I missed that,
Or Resurrection Day coming up. They show like Jesus of Nazareth, then they show the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments,
Passover season.
Yeah.
And so I've always wanted to be.
I got that movie too.
A friend. Yeah, you took it from the Catholic Project Library.
No, I didn't.
He always say
and
that.
So,
no, I didn't.
We're starting to call your house the second Catholic Project Library site. You got so much stuff out of the library. Anyway, I've always long for that friendship, and God has given that. He's allowed me to be a friend of his, and we know that the Lord describes that, especially that relationship with Moses. He talked to Moses like a person just talks with a friend. And so I think for me, that would really encapsulate, and in my attitude is I can't wait to see my friend.
And I love to bring up the point that because you have individuals that are out, that you may even rub shoulders with that really harp on knowing the name of God, and through my study God has shown me that he's not confined to one name, but that God, even through the scripture that I read in Exodus 3:13-14, that he's whatever he reveals himself to you to be, because his name coincide with his character, who he is, And yeah. so he's very personal. And so when we grow with God, we read the Old Testament, we read in accounts, historical accounts of God's people journeying with God in their lives, and they're describing God based on that journey.
That's a good point, because when we look at it, there are actually, when we look at God's name in the Bible, there are actually five main points that his names fall under that describe that character. Like, his names provide a revelation about him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His names lead to adoration of him.
Yeah.
His names is like a protection. A lot of his names talk about how he's mm-hmm. a God that protects.
Yeah.
The names also symbolizes a location where God's glory was among his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of one particular place for us, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, State mm-hmm. Fair Park Hope and Fest. Hope Fest.
Hope right, Fest, right, yeah.
right. And then the name God's identify him.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you read that passage when he said, tell the children of Israel, I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am. It's that's so point. I will be who I will be is the literal, you know, meaning of that, you mm-hmm. know, from that Hebrew expression. I will be who I will be.
Or who you need me to be, that's who I am.
Right. And that's awesome. It's like whatever I need to be to reveal myself to you, yeah. I'm going to be. And that's why you got all these different names
yeah.
that his followers and we ascribe to him, because he's so different. Now, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
How many Christians have there been in the entire history of creation?
Wow.
That's how many names God has been given
and in their
personal reflections.
And I think it's another side note to note that, you know, that if God is revealing who he is through his character, and he's an infinite being, then those characteristics that he's revealing to his people are infinite.
Inexhaustible.
Inexhaustible.
Yeah.
And so what I want us to do is I really want us to talk about just how powerful God's name is.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask the question, do we still believe in the power of his name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nowadays, you know, people don't take names seriously. I mean, you had one wave where people were naming their kids after cars they can't afford. Then you had them naming them kids names with like 15 syllables in them, you know, assembled fancy names and stuff like that. And so it's interesting that you have all these names and people just kind of don't give it a second thought. And so my thought is that why don't we take a name very seriously anymore?
I think, and I was just asked this, you know, we going inside state facilities, prisons, thanks to DOC. And we just had a conversation about it this morning about why. And we were talking about just concepts that God has given the church to be able to train up leaders, to be able to train up men, that they would fulfill the purpose on why God created them. And we talked about why, when God has made it plain in his word as to how to do that, why don't the leadership in individuals do it the way that God has said. And one of the things I said, and I'll say to this same subject, is that man has gotten away from doing things God's way, right? And so everything is always men-centered, right? And we define things based upon our realm of life, you know, and not from the origin of life where everything should flow from God, because God created all things. And so and I know we're going to talk about this over and over again. Everything always goes back to what's God's will when it pertains to this. And the same thing with his name. You know, his name, you know, denotes his authority. It denotes his person, his work. It denotes our purpose, right, for why he created us. And he says that he created us to be made in his image and in his likeness. Thus, the man created in Genesis is to be that vessel that he's using to declare who he is in all of creation. For he said that I will make the man in my image and in my likeness, that he should have dominion over, you know, the things of the earth. And so God was proclaiming his name through the creative act of creating the man.
Now, then, go ahead.
Well, I'll say another thing I think is, you know, that back in the day, there was, names are always associated with identification. And back in the day, you know, people would name their children according to, like, biblical characters, for instance. Mm-hmm. And that was because they was trying to, one thing I believe they were trying to do back in history was to say, hey, I'm going to name my son John, knowing that he may not be the John the Baptist or John Jesus' cousin, but maybe that John would identify him with a relationship with God when he gets older. Say, you know, I die. And it comes kind of, you know, maybe I die before I'm able to raise my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about names or back in the day like that. And I think of what you were saying, nowadays life is so man-centered instead of God-centered. Yeah. Now names are, like you say, like you were saying, Rich, and you were saying, Frank, about names identifying with God. But then, Rich, you were saying about how people just name their children after cars and things like that they can't afford. Now it's so me-centered that I'm going to name something that's creative or that like or I enjoy.
Or the purpose originates with me.
Right.
Right, instead of like...
originating with God. Right. So.
Even like a term like love. Like that term should be, you know, defined by God. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As everything else should be. And I think when we talk about names, we need to look at it the way that God used names, or the way that he presented names to us. And the way he did it was identifying his name with who he is and what he's done. And then in relation to, you know, his person. Right?
Right.
And
right.
Sometimes we get into to just branding things. We don't really look at, you know, the name being associated with character, with content of an individual's character, with who they are.
Yeah.
So. If I can give a good example, I'm just thinking about the life of us as captives, the Captive Project. I think about myself and Dan. You know, my relationship with my wife and his relationship with his wife.
Who are you
and
talking about, DQ?
DQ, yeah.
Okay.
And then myself. And just thinking about the naming of our daughters. So we named our daughter Shayon, which is us-centered. Shay has a name, but, you know, Shay's name is between, you know, her mom's name with a letter removed and then her grandmother's name to try to honor the family.
Right, right.
And then here it is, DQ and Sherry got together. And we not knowing Christ at the time, we just named her Shayon.
Oh, absolutely.
And then DQ and Sherry being in Christ at the time, they named their daughter Karis.
Mm-hmm.
God-centered, and saying, hey, we want to name her Karis, and Karis is Karis is a Hebrew word.
For grace.
For grace, and thinking, they were saying she was born out of God's grace. We named our daughter Shay, and both of them are, you know, objects of God's creation. But
absolutely.
Just to think of how those are two examples of one being named, the name being identified with something that's God-centered, and then another name being identified with something that's man-centered.
That's awesome.
That's fascinating. I mean, it does really say a lot, you know, of why sometimes we don't take God's name seriously.
Exactly.
Because the attitude that we have is, it's all about me. This is my offspring.
Mm.
And we forget where the offspring came from.
My Lord.
If not God's for creation, even if you don't follow the Lord, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're still being blessed by his creation.
Yes.
The ability to even have children that could pass on, you know, your name or your lineage, you know, and you look in the Bible, that was always important to God, is to be able to remember, because they were up against their little civil war that was going on with the tribe of Dan, and the Lord
Benjamin,
and the Lord had to stop them because they were about to wipe them out,
Benjamin,
know, and so it's real interesting that, when the Lord puts such an emphasis on his name, and just FYI, nobody really knows what the pronunciation of God's name is as he revealed it, because it was only announced once a year, in a Day of Atonement behind the Holy of Holies, which I find interesting because we've always been guessing at that formal name that he had. You know, that's why we came up with Jehovah, or unfortunately the English pronunciation is Jehovah, but it's actually that J is a Yah sound, Jehovah. The attempt to try to take those consonants and then put the vowels from Adonai in there and so on and so forth. But here's what's interesting about that. If you misuse it, even though it may not be the right pronunciation, you still blaspheme his name.
And you know,
because
and
it's about the intent of
that's
the heart.
Yep, that's what I was going with it. That's exactly it. It's kind of like, and that's what I kind of leaned a little bit toward when I said that, you know, guys that you might rub shoulders with or come across in life, you know, they make it a point to harp on the name. That's not the correct name. It's not in the original language, this and that. And I thank God for being the God that has revealed himself to the individual who comes to the faith by way of their situation and circumstances so that they would identify with God through that situation and circumstance. So again, it's pointing not back to something that would become religion in the sense where we're identifying God by the name, like how we use names like Richard and Rob and Frank, but that they would utilize his name, say, by his authority that he has, by his person, being the salvation. He's the only one that has secured salvation for us, that it would be based upon who he is. And not necessarily like, I got to pronounce this word, but I know who he is from an intimate knowledge. And so from that perspective, I'm utilizing the name of God in the way that he allowed the saints to utilize it by way of their relationship with God.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's Holy Ghost. I couldn't repeat that.
But that's what people forget, that get hung up on. It's like, you're trying to lay claim to a name that you have no experience with whatsoever.
Wow.
You're trying to lay claim to a name, Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
And you don't even recognize that he's provided for you.
Yeah.
So how can you claim that name? These people in the Bible were claiming these names because the Lord had an intense, powerful experience that happened in their lives.
Yeah.
And that's why we started out this segment. If you had to describe how, in based on your life, how God, if you had to give him a name based on his experience in your lives, what would you call him?
Mm.
Awesome. Corrector, you know, friend. I mean, and nobody's name is more holier than the other.
Yeah.
These people were trying as best they could to describe an experience. Because, I mean, think about it. You have Abraham, who is about to sacrifice his only son, the son that God promised would be an inheritance, that would be part of that multiplication of stars and sand of the
Genesis
sea
12,
and all types of stuff.
And pardon the pun, this was no laughing matter.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And then he goes and he takes him and he says, I want you to sacrifice your son, your one and only son. So he takes him up to Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
And he takes him up there and I can imagine as a father, I'm perplexed. I can't understand why the Lord is telling me to do this, but you know what? I am going to do this because maybe he's going to resurrect him. Maybe he's going to bring him up, and then the knife comes in, and then the son asks me. This is what really gets to my heart, Father. We got all the stuff,
Dad. Where's the sacrifice
for the sacrifice? But where is the sacrifice?
And
in a prophetic way, he said,
God will provide.
And so he goes up there, and now I can imagine he tells the servant to stay back.
Yeah.
Him and the boy goes up. He lays the boy. Now I'm thinking Isaac has got to be like tripping right now, like, okay,
what's going on?
And so, but think about his obedience to his father, because at this time he's what, about 12, 13 years old.
Right.
Obedience to his father. He lays him down. Abraham is like totally, and he lifts up the knife and he's about to just go, do it. And then all of a sudden the Lord stops him. And
a voice from heaven.
And what's phenomenal about that is that you take all that emotion that he went through, that long hike up the hill, preparing, putting the stones together, putting the fire together, laying his son down, and then all of a sudden the Lord said, don't do it, because now I know, as if the Lord knew, had to know something. Abraham knew that that relationship now was solidified and that God had provided, because he said, look over there in the thicket. There's a ram. And then he names that spot Jehovah Jireh.
I heard a country preacher say Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh.
And so what I want...
The Lord will provide.
What I want us as Christians to understand that the names, you know, in and of our family, you know, are given to honor people at times. Yeah. And we should really take it serious, because it says a lot about who we are.
That's it.
You know, when I grow up, you know, how did I get my name? Did I get my name because my father's name was Richard? Did I get my name because
that's funny.
The meaning of it or something like that?
Just a side note, I remember asking my mom, I said, Mom, you know, for a long time I struggled with having a common name like Frank from the urban context.
Trying a common name like Richard.
Right.
Or Robert.
But I remember going to mom's and saying, all of us are straight common. But I remember going to my mom and said, Mom, why you call me? Why'd you name me Frank? And she said, boy, you look like a friend.
Hope Radio, 98.7.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com, or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com, or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.